Please be seated. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open them to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we will continue our journey through this wonderful gospel. Mark chapter 10, our text will be verses 46 through 52. Let me just remind you a little bit of where we are here. We're coming to the end of this second act in Mark. It's bracketed by two healings of blind men. It began in chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus heals a progressive healing of a blind man in Bethsaida. And it will end here with Jesus healing a blind man in Jericho. Let us hear the word of God read. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard it, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Let's pray. God, we ask this morning that you, by your Spirit, would do what only your Spirit can do. That give us eyes to see, hearts to believe the truth of your word. Illuminate these words to us, that we might see beautiful things, that we might see Christ afresh. We thank you for him, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we are coming to the close of the second act here in Mark. The road to Jerusalem is ever before Jesus. We just sang that song, Jerusalem. A powerful song here. And they're on their way down to Jerusalem. And within this act here of Mark chapter 8 and to the end of chapter 10, we see this revelation of Jesus to his disciples. He's telling them who he is. He's predicted his death and resurrection multiple times, and he's telling them what the path of discipleship is going to look like. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Mark 8, 9, and 10 give us a clear picture of that. And we will conclude now with this healing of Bartimaeus. So where are we here in this scene? They've made it to Jericho. Jericho, a beautiful city, been rebuilt by King Herod as his summer home. It was a retreat for Herod. It's the last major city before Jerusalem. So as they're migrating south, they've just crossed over the Jordan River, and now they have entered into Jericho, which is just a day's journey from Jerusalem. There is a herd of people that are making their way down to the holy city because it is the time to celebrate the Passover. Jerusalem would almost quadruple in size during this feast. And so massive crowds by the thousands are migrating down. And so they've come through Jericho, and the holy city just lies south of them. And along the road here, and not far from this city, we are introduced to the character we'll consider this morning, a man named Bartimaeus. I want us to consider here in verses 46 through 47, this man's condition. Or if you take notes, you would see in the outline, the beggar's condition. They came to Jericho, verse 46, and as they were leaving Jericho, they had passed through with the disciples and a great crowd, this throng of people, Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus. Bar is just Aramaic. It means son of. And so really what Mark is telling us here is this is who his name is. This is who his father is. Timaeus, Bartimaeus. It's the reason why Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar Jonah," because Peter's dad is Jonah. And so his name here is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. What I want us to observe about this man is first, he is blind. He is blind. There's no real profound truth in this. He can't see. He has no ability to see with his eyes. So here's a blind man. Second thing I want us to notice about this brother, he's a beggar. Not only is he blind, he is a beggar. This is not uncommon in the first century. In the time of Jesus, many who were blind were often forced into this life of begging because they could not provide for themselves. They could not work. There's no social system where they can be cared for by Rome. No, so they had to stay on the side of the road. They had to rely upon the kindness and generosity of others for meeting their daily provisions, those who would pass by. So Bartimaeus being here on the outskirts of Jerusalem crying out, this is not an uncommon scene here. So we see he is blind. He is a beggar. And the third thing I want us to see and observe about Bartimaeus here, he is sitting by the roadside. Presumably on the outskirts of the city. This is a strategic location, so he's not in the hustle and bustle and the commotion of the city, but he can get people to hear him as he cries out, possibly to receive some coins or some provision. Maybe somebody out of the kindness of their heart would give him a loaf of bread or something to care for him. So blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. But this is a special day for him. Look at verse 47. He hears something. In the midst of all the commotion, he hears a name that he has heard before. He hears that Jesus of Nazareth is within his vicinity. He's heard conversations. He knows the name. He has been an ear witness of the stories of Christ, the stories of Jesus' healing, the stories of Jesus' life. They precede Christ. As Christ goes into Jerusalem, they know about him. They know about Jesus in Jericho and in Jerusalem. But for Bartimaeus, he had always heard the stories. It was always through others that he heard of Christ. But on this specific day, the one he has heard about is nearby. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, imagine what he's thinking in this moment. He's blind. He's begging. He's sitting on the side of the road. And he must be thinking, now's my chance. I've heard the stories. I've heard this miracle worker in Galilee. Now he's down in my neck of the woods. I can't see him, but I know he's there. And so what does this brother do? What does this man do? This blind beggar, in faith and in desperation, he cries, and he cries out these words, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Interesting phrase. We can understand him calling him Jesus. That's his name. But he calls him Son of David. We don't have this phrase, this title at all throughout the Gospel of Mark. This is the only time that Mark even writes this phrase. This is the only time Son of David is used in Mark's Gospel. And it comes from a blind man on the side of the road. How peculiar. Commentators debate on the exact intent of Bartimaeus' meaning here. Why does he use this title and call him Son of David? Well, here's the one. Here's the point. As the Son of David, Jesus is the promised one. It is Jesus, Messiah. It is Jesus, the royal king, who will sit on the throne of David, whose kingdom will be without end. Bartimaeus knows who he's talking to. What we can see about this blind beggar on the side of the road is that he has a believing heart. Jesus, Son of David. The disciples don't use this term. No one else has used this term. But this man does. Observe also his courage. He is blind. He is a beggar. He is the least of these. He has no status. He's lowly. He's one that people would drive by and not want to make eye contact with. He's humble. And he is crying out to the king. Beggars should not speak like this to royalty. There's a big divide here between the beggar and the king. And the crowd knew it. What do they say in verse 48? And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Be quiet. Don't you know who this man is? This is Jesus of Nazareth. He can't be bothered by someone of your status. Stop bothering him and us, you old beggar. Observe, Bartimaeus is shunned by the people. But that doesn't stop him. Oh, we are thankful for this man. No, that doesn't stop him. And this probably isn't the first time that he's been told to be quiet and stop being a nuisance. But what is going to happen is this will be the last time he will ever be told to stop begging. So when they tell him to stop, be quiet, know your place, be silent, what does he do? He cried out all the more. He cried out all the more, repeating his line once again, verse 48. Son of David, have mercy on me. What can we see about this brother? There is a universal truth here that lies in Bartimaeus. When someone knows their condition, when someone desires mercy and cries out to Jesus, it does not matter what anyone else says or thinks. Bartimaeus knows he's blind. Bartimaeus knows he's a beggar. And Bartimaeus knows that at this moment in time, Jesus is close. The crowds don't matter to him. People's opinions don't matter to him. With the eye of faith, Bartimaeus knows what he needs and he knows who can grant it. He can't. No, I would say he won't remain silent and let Jesus pass by. His heart has been plowed. This is the making of a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is the beggar's condition. Notice with me now in verses 49 through 51, the king's invitation. We read in verse 49. And Jesus stopped. Let's stop right there for a minute. And Jesus stopped. Let me call your attention back to verse 32. Here we have the scene as the curtain comes up and Jesus is in front of the disciples. He is making haste to Jerusalem. He is in a hurry to get there because his mission is before him. The cross is ever before him. And Mark gives us the detail that Jesus is walking ahead of them, faster than them, setting his gaze upon Jerusalem. The disciples are trying to catch up. Jesus is telling them it's all coming to a helm now. The plan of redemption, the wheels have been set in motion, and in time space it's going to be accomplished. Jerusalem is ever before him, and Jesus is making haste. And he makes his way down and he crosses the Jordan and he goes through Jericho. But then he stops. This is a significant detail that shows us the heart of Jesus. Within a week or so, he's about to bear the sins of his people. There's a lot on Jesus' mind right now. He is about to suffer under the wrath of his Father, to be crushed for our iniquities, to be bruised for our transgressions. There is a weightiness upon our Savior, the God-man. And with all of this going on ever before him, he stops. He stops because he wants to give time to a hurting person. He stops to give time to the hurting and needy who cry out for help. understand this, people are a priority to Jesus. And if we are to walk as he walked, people must be a priority for us. And what does he do? He stops and he says, call him. Call him. This is the king's invitation. Interesting enough, Jesus doesn't actually go and call Bartimaeus. Jesus tells the crowds and the disciples who had just shunned him to go and get him now. It's interesting how Jesus can make people do what is not natural to their impulses. The ones who shunned him now have to go to him and call him. And they obey the king's orders. They go to Bartimaeus. And what do they say to him? Take heart. Be of courage. Get up. He is calling you. Imagine the feeling in this beggar's heart when he hears these words. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. It's as though they're saying to Bartimaeus in this moment, you have been granted access. You have been granted access to Jesus, Jesus Messiah. In fact, not only have you been granted access to Jesus, Messiah, Son of David, he has personally invited you into his presence. What do we see happening here? Jesus is about to make a scene, a public scene. He could have done this privately. He could have, without even having to engage with Bartimaeus, put his hand upon him. Jesus has raised the dead from people that weren't even in the same room as him. No, Jesus is intentionally making a scene right here because Jesus wants to put on full display the mercy of the king to the lowest of subjects. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We're going to see that lived out right here. And so this is all that Brother Bart needed to hear. Take heart. He is calling you. So there he is sitting on the roadside. He's probably Indian style or just crouched down. He's got a garment over him. He's got his head tucked low and he's crying out. He can't see. He hears this news that the king has invited him into his presence. And without hesitation, he throws off his outer garment, a cloak that was used to keep him warm. But no, he doesn't want this cloak on that would trip him up, cause him to stumble on his way to the king. No, he throws off his outer garment. And it says here, I love the detail in Mark. He sprang up. He didn't get up. He didn't have to stretch. He sprang up. When I was a child, I remember watching a show on the Disney Channel. It was called The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. They would drink this special juice. And when they would drink this special juice, they would be bouncing. Now, I hear the song in my head, but it's not on the approved worship list, so I won't say it to you. But there's these bears and they're just bouncing all around here and there and everywhere. And so I would remember seeing this, and then I would want to emulate that. So we'd go drink the Kool-Aid that my mom put way too much sugar in, but she's from the South. And so, much to her displeasure, we would just start trying to bounce around the house. And I thought about Bartimaeus springing up with this excitement because of the king's invitation. He must have been thinking something like, I've heard the stories, but now I get to be in his presence. Maybe something like Tigger in Winnie the Pooh bouncing all around as well. So he makes his way to Jesus. He gets up from his lowly position and he makes his way to Christ. And when he comes to Jesus, he gets asked the most important question of his life. Notice with me in verse 51, what the king asks him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus graciously invites him to answer. Much like a father with children. The father asks his children, what do you want? He knows what they want. He wants them to say it. And this is what Jesus invites Bartimaeus to do. I want you to say it. This is the king's invitation. I want you to observe something. I want you to look back at verses 35 through 37, because this wasn't the first time Jesus asks the question. This is the second time. And what happened the first time? James and John, the disciples, the inner circle, go up to Jesus and say, give us whatever we want. And Jesus looks at them and said, what do you want me to do for you? The exact same question. And how do they respond? We want glory. We want power. We want recognition. Grant us to sit at your right hand in your left. Give us a position of prominence in the kingdom so that all might see us. And Jesus says, no. Notice the difference in Bartimaeus' response to the question. He says, Rabbi, meaning great one, or Lord, teacher, let me recover my sight. He says, restore what's been lost. Let me see again. And this we will see here in verses 51 and 52, the beggar's restoration. He says, I don't want provisions, position, power, prominence, popularity, or praise. I just want my greatest need to be met. This is all I ask, Jesus. Let me recover my sight. Oh, he's thinking, my life has not been easy. I beg every day for survival. I didn't wish this upon myself, nor would I have ever wished this upon anyone else. I felt the sting of rejection. I hear the comments. Oh, but Jesus, I know that you have done this before. You take what is unwell and you make it well. You take what is broken and you make it whole. You take what is lost and it is found. You take what is dead and you raise to new life. His request is, Jesus, I just want to see the King in all his beauty. Son of David, have mercy on me. I want you to observe, he answered correctly. Whereas James and John wanted it all Brother Bart wanted was his greatest need met, nothing more. What's the outcome? Verse 52. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. From blind beggar to a brother who expresses saving faith. Oh, what a day for this man. How do we see this expression of faith in Bartimaeus? Let me give you 5 points. I love everything that has 5 points. Amen. First, he's aware of his condition. I'm going to hit you with 5 points probably 5 times. Maybe not that many. But he is aware of his condition. He cries out for mercy. He responds to Christ's call. He asks for his greatest need met, and he is restored. This you see the faith exercised in Bartimaeus. Does he not demonstrate many of the Beatitudes? Think about this man for a minute. Poor in spirit, blind beggar on the side of the road. Blessed are the meek. Oh, he is a lowly man, but with conviction. Blessed are the merciful. Bartimaeus received mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The end of verse 52. And immediately he recovered his sight and he saw God. Oh, what a day for this man. And how does it end for him? And he followed him on the way. Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. In other words, he became a disciple. Now remember how it started. We have blind beggar sitting by the side of the road, and now he is a healed brother following Jesus in the way. This is the making of a disciple of Jesus Christ. So, what can we make of this? What sense do we make of this account of Bartimaeus? And why does Mark see that it's so important to put this in his gospel? Let me submit to you that Bartimaeus shows us the path of discipleship. In some form or fashion, we are all called to walk this path. And all of us in here, in this room, right now, are at some point on that path. Let me give you 5 points on the path of discipleship that we see from Bartimaeus. The making of a disciple of Jesus Christ will walk down this path. And it first begins with the awareness of our condition. Like Bartimaeus, we too are blind. Spiritually blind in our natural state. Acts 28, verse 27. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ begins with awareness of this condition. Second, cry out for mercy. We cannot do anything to fix ourselves. I cannot improve upon my deadness. No, we need another. We need someone greater than ourselves. We are spiritually helpless, which leads to being eternally hopeless. Unless the merciful King demonstrates sacrificial goodness. Our cry must be this: Son of David, have mercy on me. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Awareness of our condition leads to crying out for mercy. Third point on the path, trust in Christ. You must act. Bartimaeus knew about Jesus, but he had to respond to Jesus. He had to have an active faith. Dear one, here, listen to me, please. From the youngest of children to our dear saints among us, have you responded to Christ's invitation? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who know their condition and all who desire mercy. Jesus says, bring your sin, bring your shame, bring your weakness, failings, pride, critical spirit, backsliding. Bring it all and lay it down. Bring it all and leave it at the cross, where love and mercy meet, where justice is satisfied, where sin is atoned for, where the burden of sin is lost because it was borne by another. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, trust in me. Understand this. If Christ died for these sins, you have no business carrying them around. We lay them at the altar of the cross. Trust in Christ. Fourth, on the path of discipleship, we must confess our greatest need. And our greatest need is not the positions and the power. It's our hearts need to be changed. My greatest need in my natural state is for my heart of stone to be replaced with a heart of flesh. So the prayer is, and the confession is, change my heart, O God. Forgive my sins. Cause me to walk in your ways. Give me a love for the things that you love and a hatred for the things that you hate. Open my eyes that I may see the King in all his beauty. Finally, on the path of discipleship, follow Jesus. Just as Bartimaeus did not remain on the side of the road, so we too are called to follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, understand this. Jesus' call for your life is not believe in me and live as you please. No, the call of Christ for our lives is follow me and do as I command. Matthew 28:19. The Great Commission. He says, make disciples, not converts, not Christians, disciples. And how do we do that? He says, baptizing, there's your entrance, and then teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. Jesus gives 212 commands in the Gospels. And we are to obey as followers of Jesus. This is the King's plan for the King's people. So let me ask you, where are you this morning on the path of discipleship? Every one of us is on this path at some point. Are you sitting by the road, even unaware of your condition? Blind, but you think you see? You will hear this sermon and you will walk out of here the same way you walked in, unchanged, without caring. Does the preaching of the gospel affect your heart? Is there a desire for Christ? Not knowledge, not community, Jesus. Do you desire him? Are you aware of your condition? Every car that's driving by might be lost people, unaware of their condition, going through life, thinking it's fine. There's a divine appointment with eternity that we are all coming to. In 100 years from now, this room, we won't be here. We will all be dead. We pray that there will be another generation of faithful men and women sitting in this room. But this is our time. We have one shot at this called life. Are you aware of your condition? Maybe you've been churched your whole life. Maybe you prayed a prayer, but you never followed Jesus. You need your heart changed. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you've fallen into some negative patterns. You've been on a course of backsliding. You're living a life with sin and you're miserable. Return to the gracious King who desires your restoration. For those of us in here who are following Jesus, let me encourage you this morning. Continue to press on in this fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you have been called, to which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yes, the days are hard. And sometimes it is a grind and it is a struggle. Press on. For the mark of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, laying aside the things of the past, pursuing Christ, following him. Be constant in helping others follow Jesus. Maybe you're somewhere in between and you have no idea about any point on this path. Maybe you came in here with way more questions than answers. Great. You are in the best place that you could be. I would love to talk with you after. If you have questions, anybody that you've seen up front here would love to talk with you, answer any questions that you might have on this path of discipleship. But we are called to be followers of Jesus. So let me conclude with this. For many of us, remember, Jesus saved us so that we would follow him. Let the world label you as a Christian because you are living as a disciple. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us, enable us, strengthen us, that we would press on as disciples of Jesus Christ. That the world may know we are disciples by our love for one another. We praise you for this service, this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.